Good morning. It's still morning. Yeah, it's still early. And I still have a bit of the sniffles. I gotta be blunt about that. I almost feel like I should get some more coffee. Coffee. That'll help. I still got some of the sniffles. It did chill off a bit. I don't know if it got really cold or what, but it did seem really chilly this morning. I don't really want to check the weather because I would just prefer not knowing if it's going to get really cold again. But I also don't like bitching and moaning about it because, like we have to remind ourselves, there are levels and they're really, life is like an elevator. And if you think you're at the ground level, you've never been to ground minus one. And then there's LL. I'm just saying, there's always lower levels. The elevator does go down. So whenever I do feel sorry for myself and I'll say I'm a loser, I got no hope, the IRS is not going to give me the money, if the IRS pays me, that'll be great, but what if they don't? And even if they do, fuck everybody. Yeah, I feel sorry for myself sometimes. We all do, and we have to get over that. Because we have to remind ourselves that life is kind of like an elevator. And yes, there are lower levels. There are. Believe it. Open up your eyes. There are people out there in really tough situations that are probably worse than yours or mine. So yeah, I bitch and moan. We all do. We all do. And like an old friend of mine from the Army who was also a Ranger once told me, give yourself 5 minutes a day. If you need to feel sorry for yourself, give yourself 5 minutes a day. You can save it up. It's like frequent flyer miles. Call them frequent crier miles. Give yourself 5 minutes a day. Save your points. If you need an hour on the weekend every once in a while, you saved your points. But that being said, I don't want to do that. So the topic of this podcast is actually kind of funny. And if you're a child of the 70s, that Brady Bunch generation that when they would go on the Hawaii trip and encounter, what's his name? I always forget his name. That old horror king, horror queen. Vincent Price. Yeah, I just remembered it. That's awesome. I haven't gone dementia yet. Vincent Price is in the cave with a M1 carbine. Yeah. If you're a child of the 70s, you also remember Mr. Yuck, I think. Ugh, Mr. Yuck. And boy, isn't that a Leviticus thing, okay? Adding to the previous podcast, if you're going to mock Leviticus, remember Mr. Yuck. I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm not saying it wasn't right. I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense to scare your kids out of drinking poison. It's not. Your kids should not drink poison. This is a true statement. On the other hand, Mr. Yuck might also be Mr. Crazy, which is sometimes Mr. Happy. And that actually goes to the core subject of this podcast. Believe it or not, this podcast deals with another thing from the 70s. And maybe this was the Thermidorian reaction or the topsy-turvy, the flip side of the hippie generation of the 60s. In the 70s, it's like peace and love flipped over and left in the remnants of the car wreck from that scary film they showed you in Driver's Ed, mad teenagers on the road. In the 70s, peace and love did turn into stranger danger. And I know, I remember this. And also, films, like there were these movies that would come out. There were these after-school specials, I think, that dealt with stranger danger, like about hitchhiking, like don't hitchhike, kid, don't hitchhike. And yet in the 60s, like, do you know the way to San Francisco? Yeah, I do. And we'll do it in the back of the truck. Yeah, that's how messed up they were. But the point is, in the 70s, as a kid, it was stranger danger. And really, I would say emphasized. And I would argue from a cultural standpoint, and listen, a big part of American pop culture up until recently, up until the internet, was all about the movies. And the movies of the 70s were, there were a lot of very paranoid, scary movies. There were a lot of weird movies, okay? I don't know if, I think Omega Man, which is a Charlton Heston, I think that's from the 70s. That's one of my favorites. And if it's not, and I think it is, yeah, I think it's from the 70s. I want to say Soylent Green. I think that's from the 70s too. I like that one. There were at least one or two, disaster movies that Heston was in involving, skyscrapers and earthquakes and towering infernos and ex-wives, at least one or two. A disaster and an ex-wife. That was also a film genre. Talk about stranger danger. Holy fuck, we're having an earthquake and my ex-wife is hanging out with me. Yeah, that's the kind of stranger day. So yeah, the hippie love generation flipped over. The car got into an accident. They weren't wearing their seat belts. We saw those movies too. You remember those movies when you were a kid? The movies about the kids on the bus getting all crazy. They showed us those in Catholic school. They showed us slasher movies in Catholic school, but they were safety movies. Safety movies of people on a bus. Okay, kids on a bus acting up. Yeah, you damn kids. And the bus driver, loses control and the bus flips over and the kids are smashed and squashed like they were set up by white helmets in Syria. Okay, that good a frame job. But the point is, really, really bloody. Unlike the stuff you see from Syria. The point is, really bloody, terrible stuff. The bus flips over. Yeah. And that Syria reference, so I think there's a lot of propaganda that comes out of Syria. I'm not saying people don't die. I know they die. I just think the version we get, the reality we get, might be a lie. Sorry if I offended you. But yes, stranger danger. Well, it's interesting because, again, full disclosure, I have to add this. I am still on my journey as a Christian. I am not a biblical expert. So any opinions I have about the Bible should be, taken with that proverbial E4 full of salt. Okay? Go get yourself an E4, fill it full of salt, hold on to it. I am not an expert in the Bible. So if I give you my opinion, A, it could be wrong, and B, as I grow as a Christian, I might amend my opinion, okay? I think it's okay to talk about the Bible. I'm not gonna fucking say, oh, my relationship with God, it's some dirty little secret. It's not. And if I think it's interesting enough to talk about, why not? So I do. So Stranger Danger was part of this, and yeah. There was that Brady Bunch episode where they went to Hawaii, and Vincent Price was hiding out in a cave as some old World War II kook who'd gone crazy and had an M1 carbine, but just needed a little love or something like that. The point is, it's crazy. There were lots of episodes of shows where strangers were scary. There was even a Little House on the Prairie about a rapist dude who wore a scary mask. That was messed up. That was Little House on the Prairie. The 70s were paranoid times, and I don't think we can blame the weed for that. I think that America became a very paranoid place in the 70s. Even the people who voted for Jimmy Carter, if you're going to be honest with yourselves, you were paranoid. Everybody was paranoid and crazy. It's how they snuck the credit card into you. It's how they got you used to that thing. You were paranoid and crazy, and you just needed some chocolate cake. And hey, I got a credit card. Amazing. Well, it's funny because to me, the Bible, there's a lot about the stranger. And again, I haven't read every book for every word quite yet. I am doing a good job, but could I be further down the road of my own connection with the Bible? Yes, I could. I just need to put that out there. But yeah, there is this character, there is this person in the Bible that shows up in different stories that's very much about the stranger. And the thing is, and especially if you read the Old Testament, the stranger is a mixed bag. I mean, in a lot of ways, the stranger in the Bible is 50-50. could be good, could be bad. In a lot of ways, and this comes from kind of people who do mythological studies. Like if you've ever read Joseph Campbell, or if you've ever read Carl Gustav Jung, the stranger in the Bible is many ways a unary character. It has a dual nature, but it's very much a trickster. A trickster in the sense that the stranger's often wise, often intelligent, often someone who's providing you information, either in terms of a truth or a lie. The stranger can often be good, and the stranger can often be bad. The stranger can be dangerous. You see, the thing about the stranger in the Bible, and I think that this is an interesting message, is that you do need to pray and ask for wisdom, because the stranger can be somebody with that potential dual nature. It's a lot like, okay, again, I hate half-assed quoting of science and theory, but it is similar to that concept of superposition in quantum mechanics, or the notion of light being a particle or a wave. It isn't until you observe it that it becomes real. So the stranger, in many ways, is a trickster in mythological terms in the Bible. The stranger can be good and the stranger can be bad. The stranger can arrive and be the good Samaritan, and the stranger can arrive and it might set fire to your village and kill your family. The stranger is interesting in the Bible, and I think that's a good way to think of the stranger in life. I have made mistakes with strangers. I think I've been lucky with strangers as well. Now, will I contend, because I may have met some people recently via the internet that I don't think are terrible, will I contend that strangers are all safe? Hell no. Hell no. Jesus, I testify. No. I think 50-50 is the fairest odds you're going to get with a stranger, in my humble opinion. It might be an inherent piece of biblical wisdom, but I wouldn't pretend to be the first to come to this conclusion. I think there are many stories that Jesus tells about the many natures of making choices, and this applies to strangers as well. Which means, in a way, when you're doing the stranger game, it is a lot like that jar of, marbles. Some are black, some are white. You study this in statistics, and you figure out the odds. What's the odd of a white marble? What's the odd of a black one? And if you need more colors, you can add red, yellow, green. And what if there's not the same amount of marbles? You figure out the probability of picking a kind of color, but it is a population. It is an empirical thing. I don't know how many good people are in the world. God knows that. I don't know how many bad people are in the world. God knows that. Have I met bad people, bad strangers? Yes. Have I met good strangers? That statement is true. On at least one occasion, was I the bad stranger? Yes. I have been a bad person. It may not be the worst crime in the world, but I once had a day where I said and spoke, used language that was just plain atrocious and terrible and abusive, and it was not me, but I was definitely the bad stranger. So when people think about this question of the stranger, I think they just need to be honest. And yeah, is God potentially saying to us, don't trust everybody just because Jesus was nice? Yeah, Jesus was awesome. And for a lot of people, think of it this way. This is what's amazing about the Bible, too, because these things are connected. For a lot of people in the New Testament, in these stories, when Jesus showed up, okay, he could have been good, he could have been bad. They didn't know. If you were a tax collector and you heard about this Jesus guy and he shows up at your door, is your first thought going to be, this guy's going to be nice to me? Or is your first thought going to be, maybe I should put a knife in my belt behind me? But Jesus would show up at the home of a tax collector and hang out and drink wine and have food and be who Jesus is, a peacemaker, a man of love, a man of peace and love, of decency, not slacking, not getting away with crap, but basically treating people fairly. and understanding that circumstances can be crazy, that people end up as centurions and tax collectors. They do. They end up doing jobs that maybe are not great jobs, but it's not a great world sometimes. So yeah, the stranger, you know, Jesus, for many people, when he showed up, when he first showed up, was the stranger. And if they simply said all strangers are bad, then yeah, Jesus wouldn't have worked out so great. But Jesus knew that people could at least have that mind. We're all capable of having that mind, and we should ask for discernment. I think when we meet the stranger, we have to be careful sometimes. I do. I don't think we should assume that everybody at our door is our friend. That is not the case. I know that there's this kind of weird communist bullshit we're being sold that all strangers, all refugees are good people. They're not. Some are good. Some aren't so good. And guess what? You're going to have to figure that out on your own. But the stranger is at least a 50-50 thing, I think. I think those are good odds. I think that's the smart way to treat it. When you meet a new person at work, in your personal life, start out 50-50. Say, listen, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt up to a point. That is a good philosophy. If you enter into the situation with a stranger thinking, well, you know, God does go before me always, therefore every person I meet is going to be good. I think God goes before you in part by giving you the wisdom to make decisions and to use your discernment. And if it feels like your gut is telling you that something might be bad, why not think of that as God touching you in the gut? Because sometimes I think that's true. I've had some spooky experiences where I think God was saying, Dan, get the hell out of here. I think something like that happened to me when I was in Ireland. Leave. Why are you here? This is the wrong place. I get it. I understand it. I'm okay with erasing stuff from the whiteboard. You frustrate me, Dan, but get out of Ireland. Your free will just sent you on a very strange trip, and you need to get off that train immediately. The stranger is not always good, and the stranger is not always bad. And this is a tough, tough lesson to learn because we don't have perfect information. We don't know how many of the different color jelly beans there are in a jelly bean jar. We can make a good guess. We can be intelligent. We can be wise. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the stranger, 50-50 might be the smartest thing. Assume could be good, could be bad. Try to keep an open mind, and probably having a dagger in your belt is not the worst idea in the world. And if in your case that means a Glock 19, God bless you. I love the Glock. I think of all the pistols I've ever shot in my life, and I don't currently own one, so Seattle police, I have no guns. That is a true statement. I am quite safe. Okay. But yes, if you own a Glock is a great pistol for self-defense. I think the 38 snub, the Smith & Wesson, is also good. Greet the stranger. Have an open mind, but also have a 38 snub in your holster behind you, in your back, right at the small of your back. That too is okay. Greet the stranger and be cautious. Treat it 50-50. If I can give anybody advice today, because I do think we live in very difficult times when it comes to moral character, greet the stranger and assume 50-50. Assume could be good, could be bad. Could be if an old sibling shows up from a long time ago, that old sibling just needs help and treats you with respect. Listen, I've had a lot of help from a sibling recently in my life, and I hope that sibling knows I mean well, but I'm not a perfect person. And sometimes a sibling can even be the stranger. This is something, understand, everything is 50-50 when it comes to this issue. But eventually you trust people, like I trust my sibling. So eventually you trust people and say, you know what? I know I can be a really negative person, so I can assume the entire world is against me, but maybe that's not true. And also, it might be true that some of the people I meet who are technically strangers at first might not be all bad. And I'm going to be even optimistic and say, what if it's better than 50-50? And the part that makes it better is the discernment, is the wisdom. It doesn't have a good name. I can tell you that I can tell when I start reading certain emails, I can tell if you're going to be somebody who's going to be a darkness in my life. So yeah, I can figure that out now. I don't think I used to be able to. I used to be one of these people, well, I just got to be open to everything because there is no God. Well, no, I'm not open to everything. There is a God. And no, it's not good to be an antenna connected to the universe. It's another reason why, like, I will tell you, I don't think psychedelic mushrooms, I don't think they're evil, but do I think they're dangerous? Yeah, they are potentially dangerous, which means it's like parachuting. If you're going to go parachuting, use some common sense. If you ever take shrooms, use common sense. Understand that it's like turning on antenna, and it's an antenna that's very powerful. And you're going to pick up things, and I know I'm talking about something that's going to scare some people, because, oh my God, you're a Christian and you've done shrooms. Yes, I'm a Christian. I've done shrooms, and I will probably do them again. And I would be willing to wager, I'd be willing to bet that some of those ancient wise people that touched us through Christianity, some of those people did shrooms as well, or something like that. So I'm not going to tell you it's an inherent good thing. It's like drinking beer or doing weed. You know, I have no business doing it if I can't feed myself. So let's just put that on the table. But yes, I've done shrooms. But I'll tell you, it's an antenna. You want to talk about the stranger? Let's talk about the stranger. It's kind of like Lovecraft. I love to read Lovecraft. And no, I do not think he was a Christian. He was not. I think that he may not have known this, but he was working in a way for the devil. Not so much completely. Kind of like, almost like a sympathetic villain. Lovecraft is a sympathetic villain. But if you read Lovecraft, you are looking at little features of hell. I really think so. I think Lovecraft was seeing hell. It's possible that the syphilis that his dad died of, because Lovecraft's dad died of syphilis going crazy, it's possible that that was given to his mom, who also died crazy. It's possible that's what killed him, and he also died crazy. And there's reason to believe people think that the same thing happened to Nietzsche. So sometimes really brilliant people die crazy. They get syphilis, or they get a brain tumor. Lovecraft was in touch with something really dark. And believe me, if you want to think about mushrooms, think about opening doors. Think about tentacles, because that too can come through. I do think you can get closer to God, but you must be pure of heart. And here's the problem. I'm not. So I've had experiences, and I have to be blunt, while on shrooms that I think were a little bit supernatural. And I know that's going to sound messed up to my science friends. Dan, come on. But yeah, they were weird, and I'm not going to talk about them right now. They were spooky. It was almost as if I was transported someplace else, but it was still Seattle, okay? I was still in Seattle, but it was almost like there was, okay, it's weird. It's sort of like that ridiculous show on Netflix, Stranger Things. I don't know. I kind of like it. It's okay. But yeah, there's that whole, the underworld, you know, the upside down, the other side. It was kind of like that. It was like I was in Seattle, but I wasn't. And it wasn't until I encountered a person. Again, this is that weird quantum thing. I encountered this really nice lady, and I don't know if she was Christian or not. Here's, okay, let's talk about stranger stories. A friend of mine had convinced me on a Monday night that we should go up to Volunteer Park and do shrooms. Listen, I like the guy. He's a good guy. And if you're out there, dude, we need to go do shrooms again because you're a cool dude. But I'm not going to do them in Volunteer Park in the late summer on a Monday night at around 9 p.m. That's just not my thing. Between the mosquitoes and the middle-aged gay men trying to pick up on me, because that's a thing, believe it or not. I didn't believe it, but they're out there hanging out in the woods. Come on, it is not 1976. So I had to go home. I was on shrooms, having really bad experiences with random elderly gay men wanting to pick up on me. And again, it wasn't like horrible like that, but yeah, a couple times it happened. It happened to my friend too. I had to head home. It was just too intense. Well, the problem was I was trying to find my way home on shrooms, and then there was my touchscreen phone. And I'll tell you this straight up. Yeah, I should tell the story. I think there's something spooky about touchscreens and being on shrooms. If you're ever on shrooms, you need to be careful. If you have a Kindle touchscreen, an iPhone touchscreen, Android, I don't care. If it has a touchscreen and you're on mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, you might have the same experience I've had every single time, that the phone, in my case, starts doing crazy stuff. It doesn't do anything I ask it to do. And what's worse is on that particular night, I was reading my text messages and it was like they were sent by someone like me, but it wasn't me. And they were sent to people like my friends, but their responses weren't my friends. It was almost as if I was reading text messages like, again, I don't believe in the multiverse any longer. I have my reasons for this. But it was like, oh, it's the multiverse. No. Here's the thing I want to say about shrooms, because you need to understand something. I'm reckless. My dad was reckless. It is potentially not just something I have in common with my dad. It is one of my sins, potentially. Like, God probably doesn't like how reckless I am. And also, that might mean why I have been very trusting, maybe, of the wrong people at certain times in my life. There is a recklessness in trusting too many people. There is a recklessness in being so needy that you're willing to trust people. Sometimes you end up with Jim Jones. Sometimes, and I was lucky, I will figure out Jim Jones in 5 days. Even if I'm really, really needy and really trusting, and I am the middle of bum the fuck nowhere Ireland, I will figure your shit out. I will. And I know that about myself, so I'm okay. But yeah, you don't want to be so needy or so trusting that you trust the wrong people. So anyways, I'm on shrooms. I'm trying to use my phone to navigate out of Volunteer Park back home, which is basically Little Saigon. It's more or less heading south at that point, but I get lost. And I wander around a bit further, and I'm getting a little stressed out. My phone is freaking me out. I do not want to read any more text messages from Satan. It's like, okay, I know Satan. I know I'm not perfect, and that's why the shroom thing is dangerous. The angels are mocking me, and God is shaking his head. I know this is true. And now here you are thinking, Dan's easy pickings. Actually, I was walking down the street. I shit you not, an elderly man in like a Cadillac slows down and looks at me. I think he assumed I was a prostitute. I'm not that good looking, but maybe times be tough. I gotta be honest with you. Times are tough. Things are weird out there. I'm not really that attractive, but he slowed down like he wanted to know, kind of. If you've ever had to buy weed on the street, you get to know the shorthand of human expression. And he gave me that look, you know, that, hey, man, you know, if you suck my cock, I'll give you $100. And it's like, no, dude, no. I was on shrooms and that happened. And that's not a good thing under normal circumstances. And then you could argue, well, maybe that was the shrooms that made you see that. And this is kind of my point, too. You know, I do not think you're evil if you do shrooms. But if you do shrooms and you're a Christian, you need to be really, really careful. Because you can let Jesus into your heart, or you can let the other guy. And the other guy, he is just as close as Jesus. That you've decided to take, you know, what did they used to call the veil? And you decide to cut a hole through the veil and peek through. Well, guess what? Other things peek at you, and they're not just angels. It's not just God. It isn't. It really, really isn't. There are other things out there. And they're not your friend. They're demons. And yeah, Satan is out there. And he is not. And yeah, will Satan send you text messages trying to convince you it's the multiverse? Potentially. I'm telling you, don't. Yeah, those text messages are not. That's not friendly. In fact, if you're going to do shrooms as a Christian, I highly recommend getting a flip phone, because the touchscreen is not a good thing. Now, can I prove this really happens? I actually want to do an experiment sometime with people who are not on shrooms with a camera because it's spooky. And I've had people tell me this about mirrors too. Like, if you're on shrooms, don't look in a mirror. And I gotta say, it is spooky. You see yourself. But again, my dad water skied through Deception Pass. He was a logger. He took huge risks. I think that riskiness got passed on. Maybe not my brother, but it definitely hit me. I'm a risk taker. It is dangerous to do these things, I think, and yet I enjoy it. It is something I'll do every once in a while. But also, I will tell you this, if you set the right climate, if you're hanging out with cool people who do not want to go to Volunteer Park on a Monday night, but maybe just hang out at home and maybe have a pizza and maybe have some nice music playing, it turns out it's a pretty cool, chill thing. You know, it really is about where you're at. If you're in the wrong place, it's kind of terrible. And it just turned out that whereas the park may have been perfect for my friend, for me, it was like, ugh, no. No, that I'm picking up the wrong signals. I'm getting the wrong information. So I'm walking home and I encounter a woman, and this is the point. And this woman, I went into the bar. I said, "Can someone help me get a taxi?" And someone said, "Why don't you use your phone?" I said, "Listen, I don't have Uber and my phone's not working." And they're all like, "Huh." So I walk out of the bar and I say to this woman, "Listen, lady, can you help me? I'm a little lost. I'm on shrooms. I volunteered it. You got to do that. I just need to find my way back to Broadway. If I'm back on Broadway, I catch the frickin' tram, the frickin', streetcar named Desire, and I'm back home." This woman, this very, and she was attractive, but I wasn't picking up on her, and she definitely wasn't picking up on me. She was just being kind. But this woman who was there with her boyfriend said, "Listen, sit down. We've all been there. Okay? If you head that direction a couple blocks and take a right, you're going to see a lot of bright lights, and that's Broadway." Which, again, it's funny because it's not Broadway in New York, it's Broadway in Seattle. Yeah, but the way I just described it, this is messed up. Well, this lady was kind. She was decent. She gave me good advice. I pretty much followed the advice. I think she gave me advice that was basically fault tolerant, which was basically head south and take a right. Sometimes the stranger helps you. Sometimes the stranger is kind. Sometimes the stranger is an angel. You know, sometimes you're Lot in Sodom and you get a knock on the door and it's not strangers, it's angels of God. That happens a lot in the Bible. A lot in the Bible. There's a lot of cases of where the stranger is an angel and shows up. And we, you know, again, I believe in that. I didn't used to. I used to come up with all of these great rationalizations, especially for things that for what people would call supernatural. And often I would end up at those, well, it's the multiverse, blah, blah, blah. And it's almost like the multiverse is how you win every argument about the supernatural now. Like, oh, it's a multiverse. It's membrane theory. Our membranes are impacting each other, like the cosmos is filled with people touching their junk. I don't know. I'm sorry. That's wrong. But yeah, no, the stranger is often an angel in the Bible. The stranger is often an angel that makes your way easier, that helps you out. And sometimes and often the angel's carrying an atom bomb. And the angel's there to punish. We got to be blunt about that too. No one likes to talk about angels doing dirty work, but that's in the Bible too, okay? That's in the Bible. Angels are sent to do things that are pretty violent sometimes. And they were designed for that. You know, you kind of have to imagine the angel is way more tough than Terminator here, okay? The angel's designed to execute on God's orders, God's wrath. Well, if you think God's going to make an agent for that kind of work, you got to imagine it's going to be pretty tough agent. But then again, angels also seem to help too. So it's one of those complicated things. The angel too is a kind of trickster. This is the thing about the angel. This is duality again. The stranger is 50-50. Guess what? You need to ask yourself some honest questions when you see an angel. You do. You really do. You have to say to yourself, have I lived a good life? Am I on the side of Christ? Because if you encounter an angel on the road and you're not on the right side, well, yeah, you're basically encountering the fist of God. And God can have an open hand of help or a closed fist. And depending upon that particular circumstance, your situation with the stranger, with the angel, if you're on the right side, it's going to be an open hand, I believe. If you're on the wrong side, it's a fist of titanium going 50 million miles an hour, which I know sounds absurd, but that's kind of my point. This is a tough one. The stranger is tough. I have made mistakes with the stranger. I have also been lucky with the stranger. I know that for some people, I have been the stranger, and in some cases, I've been a good stranger. I hope most, but in some cases, if we're all honest with ourselves, and this is what we don't want to admit, because we are all sinners, is sometimes we're the bad stranger. Sometimes we're the guy that gets invited over for dinner and ruins everything. Sometimes that's us. Nobody wants to admit that. That's not the happy part of the story. But that's also sometimes the case. That's why 50-50 is so fair, because if we look at ourselves and others, we have to admit it's kind of almost a perfectly balanced duality, which also is 50-50. It's perfectly balanced. Could be good, could be bad, could be helpful, could be hurtful, you know, could be in between. And there is always that option with 50-50. It could literally be in the discontinuity, the infinitesimal between one probability state and another. Could be neutral. I'll admit that could be neutral. But the point is, if you treat it 50-50, you're probably doing pretty good. Okay? You really are. And that doesn't mean reject everyone. It just means be careful. You know, be open to the stranger. Be open to the person you meet along the road. Understand that sometimes you are the stranger. And other people look at you and say, that guy could be 50-50. Listen, you meet me along the road, I'm being fair and I'm being decent. Treat me 50-50. Give me a chance, but keep a .38 Smith & Wesson right at the small of your back. That's not bad advice in any situation. And yeah, that's stranger danger. And I know I should tell you. It's like the messaging for kids. I saw this, I think it was Good Morning America, a number of years ago, about this woman in New York who had her 10-year-old boy go take the subway by himself, and it may have been her daughter, it could have been both, and it was like, she's so independent, she doesn't need me there. And I'll tell you something, my parents were a lot like that. I mean, they kind of let us run wild. And if my parents lived in New York, I bet they would have been a lot like this woman. And I also think it's a good message. Treat your kids to be independent. But I'll also tell you something else. It's also a good message to treat your kids to be smart when it comes to new people. Not to reject outright, but to use a little common sense. It's probably the fairest thing in the world to say that human beings are 50-50. We're all 50-50 until we get to know each other. And that's a process, and it takes a while. But until then, we're the stranger, and strangers, man, you know, don't get them too drunk. Be careful, because they might be your friend and they might be your enemy. I know that's a hard message in the touchy-feely world of everyone deserves a safe space, but yeah, you got to be careful. Treat it 50-50.